Is he my prince? Is he the toad? Waiting, wondering, is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, slide up my skirt. Get me out, be the biggest little flirt. Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, this is Veronica Monet of the Shame Free Zone. Welcome back for another episode. This is actually Martin Luther King Day. I can't say I did much to celebrate. I just seem to work every Monday, no matter whether it's a holiday or not. But we're going to have a great conversation this evening. My guest is Jackie Lappin, and she actually wrote a book called The Art of Conscious Creation, How You Can Transform the World. That was a book which came out some time ago, and it was actually received some great endorsements from some personal growth leaders like Joe Vitale and Mark Victor Hansen. I think some of these guys were in The Secret. It was a finalist for the USA Book Award and the Visionary Award and the National Indie Excellence Awards. Lappin is obviously on a mission here. She wants to turn millions of people into conscious creators, so she's got a brand new book, and it's called Practical Conscious Creation, Anchors Law of Attraction and Conscious Manifesting Techniques, Tools, and Practices into Daily Life. I don't know about you, but as we are moving into 2012, I am so ready to hear how we can revitalize our practice around affirmations and creative visualization. So, Jackie, welcome to the Shame-Free Zone.
I'm delighted to be here, Veronica. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, you know, it was very fortuitous that we met, actually, at the 21st Century Book Marketing Conference in San Diego a few months ago.
I know, and it was great. I'm so glad that we've been staying in touch, and I'm looking forward to being a part of your extended family.
Well, awesome. So maybe you can help me and our listeners here with a little frustration. I posted something to Facebook just a few minutes ago, so they haven't responded yet. They're working on it here, though. Anyway, does the law of attraction work? That's a big question. I think some of us, have been practicing our affirmations, looking in the mirror, and trying so hard to, apply the things that we saw in the movie The Secret, and it doesn't seem to always translate to results. So, when you talk about practical conscious creation, how does that differ from maybe some of the messages we got in The Secret?
Well, practical is really how to apply it, but let's step back a little bit and talk about why it works and when it doesn't work. You know, we are all energy, and you can see the energy that our physical bodies are, but our thoughts and our emotions are energy as well. And they go out into the world and they do one of two things. They either go out and they impact things in a domino effect, or they attract things back to us. And that's what law of attraction is all about, attracting like energy. So when we're vibrating, we are vibrating in a range of frequencies. And the low frequencies are fear and anxiety and worry and disappointment and distrust in the universe and anger. And when we're putting that out into the world, that is what we're actually drawing back to us. And we are unconsciously creating our lives because we are essentially bringing back frequencies that match. In other words, if you're fearful or worried, you're going to bring back more to be fearful or worried about. Now, when you do this, you are experiencing financial troubles, romantic troubles. Life is just really difficult. I call that driving the car with the brakes on. However, if you're vibrating in the high range, which is love and compassion and joy and love and gratitude and appreciation and trust in the universe, when you're vibrating in that high range, then you're vibrating at the level of the universe. And that the universe vibrates at the level of love, the highest frequency. And as you are, then you are being carried along by the universe. It's sort of like being drafted in a race car, having the wind in your sails. And that's when you see doors open, synchronicities happen, and life gets really easy. Things just seem to fall into place. When you are consciously creating while vibrating in the high range, then your manifestations happen very quick, or much quicker than they do otherwise. And it's very Pavlovian, because once you experience it, you think, oh, this is so cool. I want to do more of this. But what it really means is that we each have a choice to vibrate in the low range or in the high range. And we can actually choose to change our thoughts, change our emotions, and bring them up so that we are influencing the degree to which we experience negative and positive experiences coming forth, because what we think we create, what we think, what we put out into the world, we attract. So if we are vibrating more high frequency experience, more love, more joy, more abundance, then that's what more of what we're going to be bringing back. You're switching the odds, increasing the odds of success. Now, here's what happens when a lot of people try to visualize after they saw The Secret. Even though they may have had high-frequency intentions, they were still vibrating low-frequency emotions. So in other words, they were fearful, they were upset, they were desperate to make their manifestations occur, they were worrying about money even though they were trying to manifest more money. So if you're vibrating in the low range, the universe gets conflicting messages. You're actually countermanding what it is that you're asking for, and the universe can't respond to ambivalence. So in order to be successful, you have to raise your personal frequency, be operating in that high frequency zone, and then hold your vision, and that's when you're going to see things manifest for you.
So Jackie, I mean, one of the things that I think happens a lot of times is that people start, you know, I do it. I recite my affirmations with varying degrees of enthusiasm from day to day. Speaking of practical conscious creation, what are some of the practical tips that we can do to show up for our affirmations and in a way that is energetically in alignment? I struggle with this almost on a daily basis, how to become aligned energetically.
Well, you know, there's a whole philosophy and basically and a process behind this, and affirmations are only a part of it. My first book, The Art of Conscious Creation, has 25 guiding universal principles on how to raise your frequency. The second book has 70 individual little articles and 70 individual tips. It's all very bite-sized and easy to grasp that teaches you how to raise your frequency by anchoring law of attraction and conscious creation principles into everyday experiences so that you become a better, faster manifester day by day. And affirmations are a portion of that, but it's only one aspect. Much of it really has to do with your outlook on life and choosing to assume that everything is going to work out, as opposed to going to that worst-case scenario that everything is going to hell and you just, you know, assume that it's going to.
Uh-huh.
So that's part of it. People also tend to think that the universe is against them, and the truth is the universe is conspiring on your behalf. And what it, you know, when you basically take action, it's more than just affirmations. When you take action in a positive direction, then the universe will actually align all the various resources that you need in place. You'll be guided in a particular direction. You'll a door will open. Things start to align themselves. One of the articles in the book is on what happens when you make a commitment, when you don't just talk about something, you actually go and begin to commit to it, and take the step. There's an analogy of the Indiana Jones guy. He's being chased by the bad guy. He comes to this giant chasm, and there's no bridge over the chasm. And he doesn't know what to do, and he looks around, and there's a little Yoda-like creature, and he says to him, so how do I get over the bridge? And he says, take the first step. He takes that first step, and the first step of the bridge appears, and then the next step, and then the next step. And so it's really an act of faith, but the truth of the matter is once you take that step, then the next will appear, and you don't necessarily have to know how to get where you're going to go, because it'll help you. So part of it is, yes, you need to affirm, but you also need to step out and begin taking action in the direction that you want to go. And that is tells the universe that you really deserve to be rewarded and supported in your actions as you move forward.
You know, I think sometimes I've had various different experiences. I've had experiences of just letting go and having a sensation, well, of course it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I don't know how, but I just know it's going to. And then having not exactly done any particular footwork, it just almost magically appears. And yet I've had other instances in my life where I felt like it was like, no, you need to do the footwork. You need to get into action here. And I know that Jack Canfield was in the movie The Secret, and I actually took 6 months of his coaching program. Mm. And that was, it was a good program. One of the emphases, however, in it was very much about getting into action, taking some real steps so that we weren't just doing creative visualization and affirmations, but you know, I was working with a team of his advisors. They were coaches who had some concrete ideas for how I could implement some of my business plan. Do you think that creative, you know, conscious creation also requires footwork, or is that superfluous?
Actually, it's critical. There are 7 steps to consciously creating your life. And the first one is to recognize that you are, in fact, responsible for your own, what you experience in your life. Take responsibility for that and start, you know, taking charge. When you realize that what you experience is a direct result of what you're thinking and what you're emotionally putting out into the world, then you have the ability to be entirely empowered. You know that you have the influence that you can bring to bear on this. And so you're no longer a victim. That's step number one. Number two is to begin figuring out exactly what you do to lower your frequency on a daily basis. I call these negative energy habits. And these things are things that we do on a regular basis, things like worrying all the time, obsessing about things, living in the past, blaming other people, having deep-seated anger at the world, or, you know, just even putting yourself down, not thinking that you're enough. And, excuse me, when you do these things, when you begin to realize that you have, constant kinds of reoccurring behavior that lowers your frequency, you can actually begin to change it. That's because you are now aware of it. And one of the wonderful ways to notice when you're doing this is to set your cell phone to go off every hour. And when that goes off, think about what you're thinking, and you'd be shocked at how much of it is negative thinking. Number two is to figure out, you know, that you have these negative energy habits. Number three is to begin what we call personal frequency management, which is consciously rethinking, reframing, changing the way you look at things so that you are seeing things from a much more positive framework. I am a naturally glass half empty person. I had to learn to become a glass half full. And I have to tell you, if I can do it, anybody can do it. Let me tell you. As I mentioned, my book has some tips. This new book has just tons of information. But, you know, if sometimes you just have a bad day and you just spiral into that negative energy, and I guarantee you the days that I come to my computer with a ball of anxiety, that's the day my computer goes out. And there is no accident about that. You know, we actually, our energy impacts everything around us. So now I know that if I'm having one of those days, I have to switch out of it immediately, or else tomorrow is not going to be any fun. So for me, I have 280 beautiful roses. I literally go out and smell the roses in my yard. But there's lots of other things that you can do. If you're just having a bad day, you know, the boss started out yelling at you, or you spilled coffee and the day just got out of control, you can go out in nature, you can work out, you can play with your kids, you can play with your pets, You can play music or listen to music. You can meditate. You can remember, you know, put yourself in an emotional state where you remember some beautiful experience. You can do anything that brings you peace and joy, and that will instantly shift you out of a negative framework. So that's step number three, which is, you know, managing your personal frequency. Step number four is to get really clear on what it is that you want to experience. Give the universe real clarity, and this is where you begin consciously creating your future or any small thing you want in your life. You know, conscious creation isn't necessarily always about the big ticket things. It's not necessarily about houses and cars and lottery tickets. It's about quality of life. What are the things that are going to make your life better? And that could be more time to do the things that you want or spend with the people you love. It could be more help to get you so that you know, don't have to do it all yourself. It could be a mentor to guide you. It might be resources so that you can start your own business. Whatever it is, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the houses and the cars. So the fifth step is to then begin what we talked about, the visualization process. But it's very, very important that you do this as if you are already there, as if it was a mind movie, as if you're experiencing it right this moment. And you have to have the emotional component. You have to have the joy, the wonder, the love, the, you know, the thrill, the abundance, whatever you're feeling is what you're going to be attracting. And so this is really important. There's an article in Practical Conscious Creation called Frequency Matching. You want to match the frequency that you want to draw into your life. You have to be it to experience it. So, you know, you have to really look at that emotional component. It's the express mail to the cosmic post office.
Express mail through the cosmic post office.
Exactly right. That's what the universe is really responding to, is your emotional response. That's what it keys on. So you really have to be very aware of that. So if you're fearful or full of anxiety, et cetera, that's what you're going to be attracting in. So that's really why it's so important for you to elevate your frequency. So that is step five. Step six is the one that I was getting to that we talked about. Becoming an actionary. And that's where you have to take the steps to move forward so that you can really put your manifestation in gear, essentially. And as you begin to do that, you'll start to see things unfold, especially if you listen to your inner guidance, all kinds of things are going to come forth for you. And then the seventh step to consciously creating your life is to begin using practical conscious creation in everything that you do. Making it a lifestyle, not an occasional thing, so that it becomes a way of life and you become a better, faster manifester.
Okay, so, you know, one of the things that there's a lot of resistance to change and risk. So, and I'm thinking about, you know, how difficult it can be for some people to even, you know, show up for these sort of things. Do you have any tips for people who are kind of like, you know, change and risk aversive?
Oh, do I ever. There's an article in here called The Gift of Risk. And I call it a gift because risk is one of the most growthful experiences that you can have. Because it's going to force you to really expand yourself. You know, really, there are here 10 different tips on how to deal with risk and allow yourself to move through the fear that you can take the risk. Because if you don't take risk, you're going to stay exactly where you are, and you're going to be just as unhappy today, tomorrow, as you are today. Risk, the value of risk is it's going to take you out of where you are and into something better. And that's what most people assume it's going to be worse. So here are some things that you can do in order to move forward out of risk. One, the first, or into risk. The first is when to know when to move forward. When the calculated risk adds up, you want to thoroughly evaluate the up and the downside versus what you're sacrificing or you're changing. And if the potential outweighs the all else, then take the risk. Another is when the only thing holding you back is fear. if you're looking at this thing and you're thinking that this is really a great, a great opportunity, and you're just sitting here, you know, in terror, well, then the best thing you can do is, you know, take your emotions out of it and put in the what if. What if I didn't have any fear about this? Would I do this? Just extract your fear in an objective manner and look at it from that standpoint. And if it looks like a good deal, then, you know, you got to let go of the fear. The next thing is when you have the capital to invest. And I'm not talking necessarily about financial capital, that's one element of it. It could also be the time capital and the emotional capital and the expertise. If you have all of those things, then why not? You need to move forward. And then there's one in here, it's called When It's Time to Burn the Ships.
When it's what?
Time to burn the ships. If you're only staying there because it's safe and you want to have an out, you got to burn the ships. You just got to move forward because there's no reward without the risk. You just got to get out of your rut and go do it. And then when you're going, when where you're going could be better than where you've been. If you're nowhere, if you're unhappy with where you are, and the place that risk can take you is potentially better than where you are, you got to do it. Number six is when your intuition, instinct, or internal voice urges you onward. Something is telling you that this is something that you should do. Listen to that. And related to that is when it feels right. I mean, listen to your gut. If your gut tells you it feels right, then go for it. And then next, when your passion is engaged, when you are feeling that you're so excited about this, when you really this is really passionately what you want to do, you need to give yourself the opportunity to experience it. And then the next one is when all the synchronicities are already lining up in your favor. The universe is trying to give you a message that it's ready for you to make this move, and you just need to follow that path. And then lastly, consciously create the opportunity with vision and love. Put your love into it. Create a vision, a beautiful vision of where you want to go and what you want it to be, and then go for it.
Huh. So what would you say for people who are kind of stuck on, you know, what Marianne Williams has talked about, we're not so afraid of failure as we are of success. Do you have tips in your book about fear of success for people who are maybe, you know, still on some level sabotaging their own efforts?
Well, there's a lot of work in this book about how to, you know, really examine your beliefs and allow them and allow yourself to experience moving beyond those limiting beliefs. One of the things is that many people just, you know, if you hold on to your past, one of the articles in here, if you hold on to your past, you're going to bring it into your future. So if you are in a belief that you're unworthy or you're not going to succeed, then you, in fact, will make that a reality for yourself.
Okay.
So today, you have to realize that the past is the past, and you do not need to recreate it in the future. Tomorrow is brand new, completely new, and you can create your whole life, reinvent your whole life from this point forward.
So now that takes a real leap of faith there to think, I'm going to get up and I'm going to be somebody else today.
It does. It does. But you have to realize that we're dealing with energy here, and if you put new energy out, you will have a new experience. If you continue to put out the same energy, I'm not worthy, then you will experience the same experience you've had.
Yep.
More experiences to make you feel unworthy.
Absolutely. I think one of the things, that, you know, if people are finding they've got a chronic tendency to feel unworthy, it's a good idea to maybe get some type of therapy so that you can start shifting that, those old beliefs. If they're attached to events that happened in your life, they're unresolved. Because I think sometimes people kind of get stuck on that because they need to resolve some old hurts.
No question. And, you know, a wonderful coach like yourself and other people are, you know, trained people are wonderful resources, mentors to help you move beyond where you've been. I mean, each of us needs somebody that can, you know, that has a wider perspective. And sometimes even there's maybe even an element of past lives. And so sometimes that's something that can hold you back. And a good therapist who understands past life maybe help you to dig in and figure out what that element is.
Absolutely. I know I got totally hung up on, I had an encounter with a cougar up here in the woods where I live.
Mm.
And other people have lived up here 20 years and never seen a cougar. I was up here 2 weeks.
Wow.
And got stalked by one.
Oh, my God.
So I had to look at a past life where I had been eaten by lions. So that was...
Whoa.
Kind of like there's a lot of energy around that.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I finally just kind of developed a sense of humor about it. It's like, of course, I know I'm going to see the cougars. Mm-hmm. that's my karmic path. So
I
if I can...
I've been told a number of times that I've been a warrior in my past life and you know, was either stabbed in the back or stabbed somebody else in the back, and that's part of why I have back issues.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, that stuff can be, you know, well, it takes a little longer than one lifetime to get over it sometimes.
Yes. But once you understand some of that, it does help you move forward.
I think it does. For me, it just helps me to have a sense of humor, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You got it.
I don't really think past life regressions are worth much unless they're helping you live the life that's in front of you.
I'm in agreement. I mean, it this is all about learning to grow beyond where you are now.
Absolutely. And so if it's not about growth, it's to me it's just a distraction.
Right. Like you know, there's actually an article about what makes you suffer here and then the antidotes to the limiting thoughts and beliefs that we have. There's one here, it says, I am not, pick one, smart enough, thin enough, attractive enough, charming enough, gifted enough, or good enough, as good as, and so on and so forth. And the antidote to that is to learn to love yourself. There are numerous books and guides on how to increase your own self-love and acceptance, and this is essential for your growth. However, until you use the mantra, I am a blessing to myself, to this planet, and to all to know me. Replace all such ideas of unworthiness with this phrase and dismiss any thoughts of not enough by repeating this phrase each time one of those negative impressions arises.
Mm. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So, you know, can we backtrack a little bit and maybe you could tell us a little bit about your path, what it was that catapulted you into being a spokesperson for this topic?
Well, you know, the first is that I was actually a conscious creator from the time I was 11, even though I didn't know what I was doing or the process that I was using. But I, you know, there were no female sports writers in that era. But yet I envisioned myself in press boxes, you know, talking to players, writing front page stories. And at 20, I was at the Detroit Free Press. At 21, I was at the Associated Press and on the front pages of the LA Times. And 22, I was at the Washington Post.
Wow.
And so...
That's fast.
Yeah. I mean, I was completely soul-directed. And I was completely following my own passion and my own guidance. And then I had a very successful career in media relations, some of which, because I'd been in sports, I used... My agency initially was, you know, one of the leading sports special event entertainment PR agencies in the country. It was Bicoastal. And then some years ago, I sort of scaled it back down to something a little bit smaller. And then I took on a client that was the World Poker Tour and drove the worldwide poker phenomenon for several years, which was a lot of fun. Actually, when you hang around with the world's best poker players, you know what you don't know. So, no, I don't play. A little with the family, and that's about it.
Right.
But in the process, about 5 years ago, I started on my own spiritual journey. And I, you know, try to figure out why I wasn't quite as happy as I was or as fulfilled. And so I started to read so much of the spiritual literature. And in the process of that, I started to see this theme emerge that nobody was really dealing with at the time. And keep in mind that this was before The Secret came out. And it was all about how our personal energy could actually influence our future, what we think we create. And nobody was really focusing on this. And that's when my inspiration came from the first book, teaching you how to consciously create your life rather than letting life happen to you. And there's a component in that book, too, that really talks about how we can actually change the world through some of this thinking. And so that came about. And then throughout the years, you know, I'd written, I write a newsletter that goes out every 2 to 3 weeks to people on my list. And I encourage people to come to my website, JackieLappin.com, and they can participate and also get the Wealth and Prosperity chapter from this book. Free, so it's fun, and there's a bunch of wonderful video tips on there too.
I've been watching your videos this afternoon.
Thank you.
It's great.
Thanks. So you know, in the process of doing that, I realized that a lot of people were sort of doing these things sporadically, and my articles really were a recipe for enabling people to anchor the law of attraction, conscious creation into their lives. And here's one of my favorite conscious creation stories. I sort of put out to the universe that I was ready to put this all into a book. So I put the book together, and I went to 21st Century Book Marketing the year before I met you. And there I met the publicist for Findhorn Press, which is an international mind-body-spirit company, wonderful company. And I happened to chat with her, what do you do, what do you do? And I told her that I had a best-selling first book and that I, you know, was working on, thinking about the second one. And she said, what is it? I told her. She said, gee, I think we'd be interested in that. Send the proposal. A couple of days later, she said the publisher was going to be in town. Would I be willing to meet with him? I had a 20-minute meeting. And 2 weeks later, I got an email saying that they were going to publish me in the fall lineup.
Oh, my.
It was that easy. And
Yeah. That's
when the universe, you know, gets behind you. And it was like I had set the intention, and boom, 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 it just all fell into place. Here's one of my other favorite conscious creation stories, and it's just a fun little story. Because I have these beautiful 280 roses, I really wanted to share the beauty of my roses with my community, and I wanted to put my house on the local garden tour, but I didn't know anybody on the garden club. And so one day, about a month later, a woman walks by, she sniffs my roses, she looks at me and she says, gee, would you like to put your house on the Westlake Garden Tour?
Wow.
That kind of stuff happens to me all the time.
Uh-huh.
And it's because I'm aware of it, because I intention it. And here's an important part of this. I detach. I detach from the outcome. I don't sit there and, you know, and worry about whether it's going to happen and say it, you know, and visualize it 97 times. I just assume that when I put it out into the universe is working on it for me. And then I'm always thrilled and delighted when it happens. It's like, oh, this is just so fabulous. And I'm very grateful for it. And so that helps as well, too.
You know, I think that's a perfect prescription, Jackie. I really do, because when I think about the times when things have gone the way I was hoping that they would go, that's exactly how it is for me. I do the footwork, and then I let go. And when I let go, I'm in the flow, and things just happen. The money comes in, the phone rings, the people show up, there's connection, you know, people are on time or whatever. I mean, we're in the right place. There's just the synchronicity. And when I'm hanging on to something or, you know, and just kind of, you know, trying to force things, then it seems like I get stuck in neutral and nothing's going anywhere. It's like I'm just spinning my tires.
Yeah, it's much more difficult. One of the things that I've learned, you know, like many type A's, I've long been a control freak. And I felt that I had to have a control over everything. And it is only as I've grown into this conscious creation understanding that I have stopped worrying about things. And I, you know that the universe will manifest what I need when I need it. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm sitting around waiting. It means I'm moving forward and taking all the right steps in order to provide the resources for the universe to create an opportunity for me. If I, you know, if I think, okay, I'm just not going to sit here. I'm going to go out and prospect. I'm going to connect with people. I'm going to network. I'm going to do whatever it is. But, you know, I allow the universe then to fill in the gaps and to make those things come forth. And life is a whole lot easier when I stop worrying about stuff.
It really is. Because we're, I mean, there's just a lot that we're not in charge of anyway.
Yep.
I noticed that one of the things that you talk about is living, well, empowering your relationships and loving more generously.
Mm-hmm.
And since Valentine's is around the corner here, I thought it mightn't be a bad idea to actually talk a little bit about how conscious creation can have an impact on your romantic relationships or, you know, familial relationships. But it sounds like here you were basically talking about romance. So I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Well, I have a wonderful little exercise that people can do if they're single and they're looking for romance, and that is called Travels with Your Beloved. And that little exercise is, I think, also on a video, in a video tip. And what it is that take out a calendar where you can write in each of the little boxes for like a whole year. And each day, do a beautiful little mind movie of a romantic getaway with your beloved, even if you don't know who that person is yet. If it is and you want to increase the romance in your relationship, then you can do this same exercise. But if it's not somebody you know, just kind of imagine the person you want to have happen and come to you, and the two of you are off on these beautiful experiences. I mean, the first day you may be going to Paris, and you visualize and you smell it and you see it and you experience it, all the things you do, all the things you see. You're kissing, you're cuddling, you're love making, the sweet things you do for each other. And then the next day you might be in Thailand or in Bali, or the day after that you might be in Moscow. And spend an entire year visualizing yourself in these beautiful little 15-minute mind movies and create the love in your heart. Feel that love, that emotional component in each of these mind movies. And so you're basically planting the seed for that, for the love relationship to come forward.
Mm. Yeah, so you're spending a lot of time being happy anyway.
That's exactly it. You put yourself into a happy state.
All right, so Jackie, I got a question for you, and this is very important.
Mm-hmm.
If I just imagine that I'm in the house that my partner and I tried to close on and somebody else scooped it up, do you think that they'll fall out of escrow and we'll get the house after all?
My thought is that there's something better waiting for you.
Ah, yeah.
See, one of the articles in here is called It's a Universal Redirect. And when things don't go the way you think they should, or you think that they want, or you hit obstacles or walls, it's not a mistake, it's not an obstacle, it's not a problem. It's a universal redirect.
A universal redirect. Okay.
It's telling you that there is something else out there for you, and you just have to figure out what that is or allow it to come forward.
And that's allow it to come forward. Absolutely. Well, so one of the things I've noticed, and actually I noticed this in the house search as well, is that each subsequent home has been better than the one before.
Mm.
So I've gotten attached to a series of homes, and then as we've moved along to the next choice, you know, it's been like, oh, my God, this one's better than that one. So I did think that this was probably an invitation from the universe to have some faith in mm-hmm. that direction. But I have a question for you. Do you think that the universe is just kind of mindlessly responding to us, or do you think that there are sometimes elements of, of fate or predetermination or anything like that in there that you think kind of blends with the laws of attraction?
You know, I think we come here with some intention. And what our lives are is a drive to fulfill that intention, not a specific fate or death, you know, specific it is, we're consistently presented with opportunities to allow us to grow into that intention that we create.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could take any different form. It could take the form of being, you know, having a tragic accident. If your intention is to grow courage and strength, for example, or it might be to, you know, your call might be being a greater leader, or it might be to be more compassionate. So you're going to be put in situations where it forces you to be more compassionate. So, you know, we each have a mission that we're sent here with, and then we have a particular passion or drive or mission that we discover here that pulls us further along into what we're intending, what we're supposed to be intending to do.
Yeah, because it sometimes feels to me like there's a container on it. Like you can do a lot of magic and create a lot of things and pull a lot of stuff in, but there's still a container to it that's kind of moving in a certain direction. So that not all options seem to be equally available to all people. Would you agree with that?
I think that may be the case, but I think a lot of it has to do with the energy that they're also putting out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think that once you are aware of how you can shift your energy and your thoughts and your emotions and your belief system, and you begin to be more positively, if you have greater belief in yourself and faith in the outcome being one that is in your highest good, you are more than likely to experience more of that.
Yeah, yeah. And definitely. To me, it feels like a partnership almost, like you're in partnership with the universe, and if you look at it that way, that it's benevolent, and you're working together, and that you're available for some feedback and some input, that it's not just you yelling or demanding what you want, okay, being very kind and sweet about it, but you're like you were just placing an order at a desk or something. To me, it feels more like there's a partnership there. What do you think?
I think of God as one of two ways. God and the universe, to me, are one, my dearest beloved friend, who is always looking after me, and then I also say God is my CEO, and when I get given orders, I follow those orders. So when I created this book, that was one of them. Creating Life Wisdom Network, which is going to be the marketplace and directory of the consciousness movement, a virtual village that brings together authors, speakers, and coaches, retailers, service providers, and anybody in the mind, body, spirit business to, you know, connect with their next customers, clients worldwide. That, I mean, my wonderful story about that is one night I over-chocolated myself. I was wide awake. And I said, okay, God, if I'm going to sit here wide awake all night tonight, why don't you give me something useful? Be careful what you ask for.
Absolutely.
Because when you ask for something from the universe, it does provide. And I instantly started getting this incredible visualization, this download of what this was to be. And I set to work creating it because I got it from my CEO. So I'm working on it, and we will launch in the next 2 months. And if people are interested in exploring it, they can go to the website now. We ask that they not put in their content, but that they just give us a little email. You'll see a little red space on the front, a little red box. Give us their email, and we'll send you a little video tour when we're ready to go.
Now, I noticed that this is actually on the front page of JackieLappin.com.
Mm-hmm.
But if they want to join Life Wisdom Network, what would they click on?
LifeWisdomNetwork.com.
Ah, okay.
And so just, as I say, just put in their little email right there, and we'll... But you feel free to wander around and take a look and see all the cool things we're going to do. So it's going to be really...
Is this going to be like a virtual community? Or
it's a virtual... Think of it as a mind, body, spirit, yellow pages on steroids, as one of my friends called it.
Ah.
It's going to be an opportunity for people to find all the resources that they want in any aspect. So,
what's the launch date for this?
When the technology gods let me.
Yes.
I'm thinking probably 60 days, approximately 60 days.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're getting really close.
Yeah, absolutely. Just in time for spring of 2012. That sounds good.
Yep. And I find it very interesting that the universe wanted us to do this in 2012.
Speaking of 2012, is any mention of that in your book or in your presentations, lectures? Are you tying this into 2012? Do you think there's any special message for 2012?
Well, it's really interesting that one of the interpretations of the Mayan script is that this is the coming era that the Mayans called the era of the gods. And the way I interpreted that is when we become aware that we are indeed gods, that we are part of God, and that we have this incredible ability to consciously create out of this energy, and how powerful we are. And that's when there's a tipping point when so many of us begin to realize that we're not just wandering, we're not victims, we're not wandering in the desert. We really have the ability to create, not just for ourselves, but for a better world.
So really taking responsibility for that level of power then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's really, really, an important element. So we're all responsible for what we bring to. There was when Oprah closed off, she used a wonderful phrase where she said, I think she was quoting maybe Jill Taylor Bolte, where she said, "Be responsible for the energy you bring to this space. You know, be aware of what you bring into the world." There's one of the articles, since we're talking about relationships, one of the articles in my book is how to stay positive with a negative vibration spouse or partner.
Oh,
and
wow.
This is very difficult for a lot of people when they're in a relationship with somebody who's just so negative and downbeat and, whose energy is just undermining. And so there are some really important things that you have to learn to do. And one is to stay in your positive vibrational state. Don't let them bring you down. And find a sacred place in your home where you can go to meditate, clear your chakras, be in your conscious creation, positive, high-frequency state. Now, one of three things will generally happen when you're in a relationship and you are raising your frequency and you are changing. The one is that the person will begin to change because you do. And I've seen a whole family change because the female member of the family started to shift her own vibration. But your partner or spouse may very well begin to change because there's a tuning fork effect. When you start to change, they start rising to you. Another factor may be that because you're no longer responding in the same way, going into that same button pushing mode, they're going to change because they have to change because you're changing. So that's one thing. They could change and match you and raise their frequency. The second thing that can happen is that they're going to look at you and they go, "Wow, why is she so happy? Why is so much good stuff happening to her? Why is all of a sudden she making money?" And they're going to say, "I want some of that. Remember when Harry met Sally? I want what she's having."
Yes, right. I'll have what she's having.
Exactly. So that may happen. But the third thing is that person may actually fall away from your life. And sad as that may be, sometimes you have to let them go. Because they're not going where you're going. And, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to completely never see them again, although that may be one of the elements. But it just means that that's not where you need to put your time and energy.
It's definitely one of our, we tend to get attached, and it can be difficult sometimes to realize that people are on a different path. And I think there's a temptation to judge, like, "Oh, well, your path is wrong," and instead of just being able to say, "Look, you're doing something else right now."
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're going in different directions, and, you know, we need to appreciate what we have had, preserve what we do have that's wonderful, and go our separate directions.
Absolutely.
But there are some other things that you can do when you have a negative energy spouse. You obviously want to visualize a harmonious relationship. I have a little thing that I do where I talk about throwing my love net over to people, my pink love net. You know, I see them saturated with love, my love and joy and wonder. So, you know, and feel the love for them. The more I love I put into them, you know, to our relationship, that helps lay some further groundwork. You know, focus on the present moment, the very best and most enjoyable you can, while creating a vision for the future. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to assume that they're going that everything they're going to respond the next time the way that they did in the past. Release the past. Don't go back there. Just leave the way open for more positive things to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Present your partner with more positive alternatives without nagging. Just present alternatives. Spend 5 minutes telling your partner every day one or more wonderful things you love about him and her. Boy, will they be surprised.
Yes. Yes, and I have found that if you focus on people's good attributes, their positive attributes, you can actually encourage those positive attributes to expand.
Yep,
and
become
a bigger part of them. Jackie, I'm looking at the clock here. This time has just flown by here, and I want to make sure you get an opportunity to tell our listeners where they can get a copy of your book. Are you on a book tour? Are you coming to a city anytime soon? Or?
Well, I'm not, but I'm always available. People can connect with me. I do coach people on conscious creation. But you can find me at JackieLappin.com. You can also connect with me on Facebook on Practical Conscious Creation by Jackie Lappin. There's one other great little exercise a video tip I have on the, and also it's in the book that I wanted to tell people about, and it's called the money tree, because so many people are struggling financially. If you focus on the struggle, you're going to create more struggle. But if you focus on your abundance, you will create more abundance. So in this little exercise, you imagine swallowing a little seed that goes down into your tummy, that grows a trunk, then it grows branches, and then it grows beautiful little green leaves that are all $1,000 bills. And each one you pluck grows back. So you essentially have an ever-abundant money tree in your tummy. And as a reminder that you have this ever-abundance that's always with you, you can go get an actual little image of it if you go to practicalconsciouscreation.com, which is also on the drop-down bar on my website. And you can get this little picture to put on your vision board or on your mirror or at your desk to remind you that you're ever-abundant.
That is just very beautiful. It really is. I really appreciate that. I feel like I got a nice little pep talk to help me get going on a lot of my my goals here, and I also really like the whole idea of remembering to temper this with letting go and getting into the flow. So beautiful, beautiful. But you obviously walk your talk. I mean, your books are doing great. So
thank you.
That in itself is an inspiration.
Thank you. Well, you know, we all have days when we dip down into the other stuff. The point is not to live in the low frequency.
Yeah.
You can always bring yourself back up again.
Yeah, I think, you know, too, if we could start to beat ourselves up for the days when we fall down. So I like that. Yeah, we all do. Just get back up and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks so much, Jackie. I hope to have you back here when your third book comes out, or maybe sooner. And for the listeners here, I want to let you know that next week I am going to be interviewing Patricia Evans. So we're going to be talking about teenage bullying on social networks. It seemed like a kind of out-of-the-box topic here, but I don't know if a lot of you know this. I'm an anger management specialist, so I have a huge interest in things like verbal abuse and the ways in which we can combat that, and this will be specifically for our children. Speaking of Oprah, Patricia Evans has been on Oprah, and we're going to be talking about the ways that you can help your children and yourself to overcome verbal abuse. So I hope you'll tune in next Monday at 9 o'clock, and I will see you then.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with you. Sering kesepian.